Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. Looking forward to this journey as we face the issues in this broadcast. Let me remind you that you can dial the number 831-0917. 831-0917. That telephone number gets your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you. A very important issue that we'll be talking about today. I pray that you'll jump on board, pick up the phone, call others, and tell them to tune in to the broadcast. It's our desire to see others tell others, that others might tell others, that yea, even others might know of this broadcast each day. We are passionate about what we do on this broadcast because we're doing so to inform, to educate, encourage, to inspire, and to challenge listeners, especially in the Christian community, to be faithful to what the Word of God says. That brings me to the point of reminding you that as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma or some ideological philosophy or some political agenda, but based on the authority of what the Scripture says. I believe the Word of God ought to be hidden in our hearts, as the Scripture says, that we might not sin against God. But secondly, I believe the Word of God, as the Scripture reminds us, ought to be used as a light to our feet and a lamp unto our pathway, that we might understand what God would have us to do as we face issues each and every day. Jesus told his disciples about the Word of God, if you will. Yes, I believe Jesus was doing so when he said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, it's only the truth of the Word of God that can set us free from the bonds that seem to hold so many today in chains that prevent them from being what Christ would have us to be. And then Jesus identified that truth when he said, thy word is truth. In John 17:17, indicating, ladies and gentlemen, that is not the fact that the Scripture contains some truth or every now and then covers things that we're dealing with in truth, but is the totality of truth. So I pray today that as you listen, you will listen based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I tell everybody that we need to have a central biblicist worldview. That central biblicist worldview simply means that what the Scripture says is the final authority. It's not based on what they say downtown in the City Hall. It's not based on what they say in Tallahassee. It's not based on the decisions made by Nancy Pelosi and the other socialists in Washington. But it's based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a very powerful but yet poignant personal question that I must ask that sets the stage for this broadcast. Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? I believe that's a question that begs to be asked and answered by every Christian today. Are you sleeping? Perhaps you recall the story in Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses in particular. And God's word in these verses in chapter 25 is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the scripture begins in Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll not read all of the text, but let me simply give you a little background narrative on it. In this text, it compares the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. In other words, virgin simply meant young maiden in the context of the text. And these 10 young maidens, all of them, if you please, they looked alike outwardly. They perhaps talked the same. Perhaps they were, if you look at them, think about them, if you used in the comparison, the analogy that's given for the scripture in the parable that Jesus is giving here, we're seeing and understanding in this text that it is possible to look the part, act the part, talk the part, be a good church member, Be involved on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night if your church has three services a week, and multitudes do not now. It is possible to give your tithes and offerings. It is possible to be viewed as a Christian outwardly, but not having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ inwardly. And that's the depiction that we're finding here, because keep in mind, verse 1 talks about in the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins, or the virgins. As you find these 10 virgins, ladies and gentlemen, there were only 5 of them that were prepared for the bridegroom in his coming. The text depicts us, depicts here the need for us to be looking, to be alert, to be working, to be watching, to be waiting, to be witnessing for Jesus Christ. The bridegroom is going to return soon. Now, there are some that question whether or not the rapture is real. The sudden snatching away of the bride of Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, validates. It's a classic text in all the Bible dealing with the rapture. Or if you want to simply believe this, it's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In either event, ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this. I believe that it's time for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to wake up. I believe it's time to recognize that we ought to come out of the lethargy of sleepiness and recognize the danger of the days in which we're living in. And we need to be ready. We need to know that you know that you know. Perhaps I'm speaking to you today, and you never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, but you think being in the Catholic Church is going to make you all right because you pray to Mary. Or if you are in a denomination that says that everything's going to be all right, as with the Joel Osteenites and the Rick Warrenites and those in that category, to talk about positive thinking and health, wealth, and wisdom, and the prosperity gospel, perhaps you're in that and you think that you're okay. Perhaps you have been taught a few verses of Scripture, and you can memorize John 3:16 backwards and forwards, and you think that you're okay. The question begs to be asked and answered. Are you aware that Jesus Christ is coming back and is going to do so soon? And in that awareness, are you saved? Do you know that you're ready? As you study the text in these 13 verses in Matthew chapter 25, you understand that 5 of these were prepared and 5 were not. 5 were slumbering, 5 were sleeping, and when the bridegroom comes and the announcement is made, the midnight cries that is called in the text, when the midnight cry goes forth, the bridegroom cometh. Are you ready? Are you looking forward to that? Are you prepared? But the larger question beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, the question that begs to be asked and answered is this. Not only are you ready, but are you reaching others that others might also be ready? Are you willing to, if you please, risk your life that others might come to know Christ as Savior and as Lord? This morning I had the opportunity to talk with one of our sons as he was, I dropped by before going to work. During the course of that conversation, somehow we got on the subject of being ready and getting others ready. And we talked about Oscar Schindler. Perhaps you remember the movie of 1993 called Schindler's List. And Oscar Schindler, at the conclusion of that movie, literally was interviewed, and in a weeping tone and in a sadness of his life, he said, I could have gotten more out. He had saved, he had been able to rescue over 1,100 Jews from the incinerator. And he said, I could have gotten more out. I could have done more. I don't know, but I just could have gotten more. And then in his interview by Eshak Stern, asked the question, Oscar, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them. And Schindler paused and he says, if I'd made more money, I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I had just, and he pauses, he said, and then the question goes forth from Stern that's asking the question, there will be generations because of what you did. And Oscar Schindler still says, I didn't do enough. And Stern, that's asking the question, Eshak Stern, said, you did so much. Schindler looks at his car. And he said, this car, Goth, that is the man, G-O-E-T-H, would have bought this car. That's the one he was dealing with, buying the freedom of the 1,100 Jews. He said he would have bought this car. Why did I keep this car? 10 people right there. 10 people could have been free. 10 people if I'd just given up my car. Then Schindler pauses, looks on his lapel, and there's a gold pin. And he said, there's two people. This is gold. Two more people and I could have gotten free just for this pin. One more person, perhaps, or two. Oscar Schindler paused again and was concerned because he had not done enough. Here's an article about that, ladies and gentlemen. It says, did Oscar Schindler really lament not having saved more Jews? The article says at the end of Schindler's list, there's a scene where Oscar Schindler relays, almost breaking down in tears in front of all of his workers, that each of the extravagances, each of his luxuries that he still has, he could have used to save more Jews, end quote. So the question begs to be asked, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, do we recognize the hour in which we're in? Do we recognize the era in which we're in? Do we recognize what we're faced with in society? We're faced in the world today, ladies and gentlemen, where the door is now rapidly closing on the churches in China. They're destroying churches, imprisoning Christians, burning and burying and banishing the Bible. In Russia, the doors are closing. North Korea, the doors have been closed for many, many, many decades now. All of Europe today, ladies and gentlemen, has been taken over by the LGBTQ, the transgender movement, and Islam. Christians are no longer free in Europe to go out and witness and win and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked, just why do I say what I'm saying? Why do I ask this question? Christians today, ladies and gentlemen, I believe Christians in the church are under assault as never before. God's word, the Bible, is no longer the standard for society, and every Christian seems to be rejecting the truth of God's word. There's some, like Andy Stanley, ladies and gentlemen, high profile, claims to have about 34,000 in his church, reaches millions by way of radio and television. But Andy Stanley says the Old Testament is no longer relevant, that the Ten Commandments are no longer to be viewed as relevant or applicable to the Christians today. Thirdly, Christians are embracing the sodomite lifestyle and the LGBTQ agenda. If you don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen, just look at across the nation, denomination after denomination after denomination are surrendering biblical truth, jettisoning biblical truth to embrace the world and the sodomite lifestyle. We have churches today that allow sodomites to be pastors, deacons, leaders, Sunday school teachers, etc., on the premise that God loves everybody and therefore we're to love them. Nothing under God's blue heaven in any of God's word says that we need to embrace the sodomite lifestyle in order to say that we love people. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about where we are, just as with the five foolish virgins that are slumbering and sleeping, not alert, not looking, not awaiting, not looking forward to the very close proximity of Christ coming. Whole denominations today are now turning from the absolutes of the Word of God to the cultural norms. Social justice today has become the norm in the majority of church denominations around the world, and yes, even in America. The cultural norms that is normal for the culture, normal for the fallen world, normal for the sinful society, now have absolutely crept into, no longer creeping into, but the door swung wide open to the churches across denominational lines. Even Dr. J.D. Greer, now the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, says that we need to embrace, his words not mine, embrace the LGBTQ community. Now, I don't know what you think of that. I don't know how you respond to that. But I can tell you, for that statement to be made, you've got to jettison the bulk, if not the majority, not just in conceptual thought, but in actual teaching of the Word of God. For the Word of God is very, very clear that the sodomite lifestyle is a stench in the nostrils of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 outlines the 10 groups of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And one of that in that group are those that are living the homosexual LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle, that you will not be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. in the rapture of the church. Will not be in that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, today Christians are silent when it comes to the laws that are being passed in D.C., in Tallahassee, and in the city of Jacksonville that are foreclosing our freedom of speech and our religious liberties. The Equality Act, House Bill 5, passed by 240 votes under the leadership of the socialist agenda of Nancy Pelosi. The Equality Act. Here's an article that says the Equality Act is the biggest threat to religious freedom in all of U.S. history. This article is dated May 22nd, 2019. Remember when activism on the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage in essence the law of the land? Elated, Obama said, love wins. He celebrated the unconstitutional destruction of God's ordained sacred institution of marriage by ordering that the White House be lit in rainbow colors. Leftists decreed that the LGBTQ lifestyle, listen, the leftists decreed that the LGBTQ lifestyle is a beautiful thing. And quote, Americans had better embrace or suffer severe punishment, end quote. This article says, shockingly, Christian churches began embracing same-sex marriage, ignoring the biblical context of Leviticus 18:22, ignoring the biblical text in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. And being deceived, this article says, pastors are cowardly bending, saying love is love, and it's a beautiful thing, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening today and you're a pastor, let me say I love you and I pray for you, but you need to grow a spine, biblical spine. You need to stand up, speak up, act up, and be what God would have you to be, or surrender your credentials and walk away from the pulpit. You heard me right. I believe it's time that we come out of lethargy. I believe it's time Christians stop sleeping if you're saved. Keep in mind in the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, indicative of the fact that only a few of them, five, were truly saved, because they did not have oil for their lamp. The light, the oil that gives the light, is emblematic in that text of the Holy Spirit of God. And perhaps you're listening today and you might have activity, but no life. You might be busy, but you are not sold out and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Christian lethargy. The question that begs to be asked, and it's the issue we're dealing with today. Are you sleeping? Are you asleep? If you're listening to my voice today and you're involved in a local New Testament church, are you soul winning? Are you reaching others? Are you sharing the gospel? Do you hear the truth of the gospel proclaimed from the pulpit, or is it the social gospel? Is it social justice that you're listening to from the pulpit? Are you listening to the diatribe that says we need to love everybody and love wins and love is the only command that we need to adhere to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Have you jettisoned off, that is, have you abandoned all of the scripture and simply say we need to embrace everybody and love everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need to have that love come by y'all moment with the lost world. We need to take a stand on what the Word of God says. Christians are embracing today, ladies and gentlemen, the sodomite lifestyle and the LGBTQ agenda. Whole denominations are now turning from the absolute of the Bible to the cultural norms. But ladies and gentlemen, the fact that is so staring and glaring for me is the silence from the pulpits about what has just happened in Washington with the passing of House Bill 5, the Equality Act, which has nothing about equality in it. If that act is approved by the Senate and then signed by our president, I pray that it won't happen. But if it does, it will be the death blow. It will be the death knell to anything that's called religious liberties and the freedom of speech. It will become the hate crime bill of America. It will squelch anything that's being said, including this voice that you're listening to now, and this approach to reaching out with the truth for Christians. It will squelch it. It will become hate speech. And ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says the Equality Act specifically targets religious Christians. This article says churches, religious schools, and other faith-based organizations that hold beliefs about marriage, sexual morality, and the distinction between the sexes would be punished if they refused to give up the policies and practices reflecting their belief and conscience. goes further sound like many states and local sexual orientation, gender identity called SOGI laws. The Equality Act has absolutely no exemption whatsoever for houses of worship, for churches, for religious entities. Even more, the Equality Act strips the faithful of the protections that we possess under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. Ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act will absolutely force Christian churches and Christian schools and religious organizations to accept the sodomite lifestyle, to embrace it, and to utilize it in their policies and procedures. And if you believe what the Word of God says and you require a policy and procedure manual for your employees and a religious organization, you'll be held liable, you'll be persecuted and prosecuted under the law. You'll be disallowed to be able to use personal pronouns like he or she, him or her, because of the LGBTQ push. If you refuse to include anything in relationship to the LGBTQ and its agenda in your educational material across all denominational lines and for every academic level, kindergarten through university level, it will absolutely be forbidden of you to do so. And I could go into great detail. But the point and purpose of me touching on that is to simply say Christians are silent. We're in lethargy. Unlike Oscar Schindler, where he looked at in retrospect and in deep regret of what he could have done. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that will be the footnote on so many lives that I'm speaking to today, that you'll look back and say, why couldn't I have used this? Why didn't I use that for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why didn't I take more of my time? Why didn't I use more of my funds? Why didn't I use more of my talent and time and treasure and testimony for the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that others might come to know Christ in these last days? Ladies and gentlemen, the Equality Act is on the horizon of becoming legislative reality. And listen very carefully. Let's say we dodge the bullet. It is not passed, or it is not affirmed, and it is vetoed. If we lose the 2020 presidential election, ladies and gentlemen, and if the agenda of the millennials have their way, and they're looking for a socialist governmental institution over them, according to the statistical data, where about 51% of the millennials want a socialist-style government. If we lose the election in 2020, and that is on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen, all of these bills that were passed and not affirmed and not signed into law will become the top agenda. And overnight, with one fell swoop, all of them will be placed on the agenda of the socialist president to sign into law. And then and only then will you and multitudes wake up out of lethargy and sleeping as the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25. And want oil for the lamp. It'll be too late. Too late to say, let me go to church. Too late to say, let me pray. Too late to say, let me get saved. Too late to say, let me do something that will honor God. It will be too late. Too late. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that is telling. This article says the LGBTQ community outraged as John Hopkins psychiatrist says that being transgender is a mental disorder and sex changes are biologically impossible. It's exactly right. Dr. Paul McHugh, the former psychiatrist in chief of the Johns Hopkins Hospital and its current distinguished service professor of psychiatry, said that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, that same sex is a biological impossibility, and that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with the promotion of this mental disorder. Dr. McHugh, the author of six books and at least 125 peer-reviewed medical articles, made his remarks in a recent commentary in the Wall Street Journal, where he explained that transgendered surgery is not the solution for people who suffer a distortion of an assumption of the notion that their maleness or their femaleness is different than what nature assigned to them biologically. He also reported a new study showing that suicide rates among transgendered people who had reassignment surgery is 20 times higher than the suicide rate among the non-transgendered society people in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians are compromising with the social political correctness in fear of being rejected by the world. If we stand and need to stand alone, that's what we must do. We need to stand even if standing alone. Christians are not interested in Bible study anymore. If you don't believe that, go to any church where Bible is taught verse by verse and chapter by chapter. Christians are not interested in studying the Bible, learning what the Word of God says, thus saith the Word of God. The mindset is we need to simply embrace what the world says and just say, I love everybody and let's have a come by y'all moment. This is the reason Christians are ignorant about what the Bible says in relationship to marriage, abortion, homosexual lifestyle, the sodomite agenda, the so-called Equality Act, House Bill 5 and Senate Bill 788, that destroys the liberties of Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about asking the question and begging to be it be answered. Are we sleeping as Christians in society today? Are we asleep? Here's an article that says, teacher in Virginia fired for calling transgender male a girl. A teacher at a Virginia high school was fired this week for allegedly refusing to stop calling a transgender male student a girl. The teacher, Peter Valaming, was reportedly fired for violating the school's non-discrimination policy and anti-harassment policy. The French teacher at West Point High School in West Point, Virginia. Quote, after thoughtful deliberation, the school board voted to support the superintendent's recommendation. The school's board voted in that decision. The school board has adopted a policy, and tonight we upheld those policies. They voted to dismiss the teacher. He claimed that his religion prevented him from identifying the boy as a preferred and a preferred pronoun. He said he did not agree with using the student's male name for the new transition. Ladies and gentlemen, that's taking a stand. He lost his job because he was willing to take a stand for his belief and his faith in Jesus Christ. May I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's necessary today. We need to wake up, come out of the lethargy, and take a stand for what we know to be the truth of the Word of God. Clarence Thomas just made a profound statement. Clarence Thomas, a Supreme Court justice, said abortion for eugenics is not anymore just hypothetical, end quote. Justice Clarence Thomas on Tuesday bluntly warned the other justices of the U.S. Supreme Court, they need to start acting on various abortion law cases because of the industry's threat, quote, to achieve eugenics goals in America, end quote. That he warned in a concerning opinion. It's not merely hypothetical, Clarence Thomas said. The case centered on the law in Indiana that banned abortions because of sex or disability and required the state to ensure deceased unborn infants the proper burial. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, Clarence Thomas says, if you want me to put it in the young blood vernacular, we need to wake up, listen up, and be alert that we're headed for an abortion industry that simply is a eugenics machine that decides to cancel life for those that they do not want, for those that perhaps are in some way deformed, or perhaps not the right sex at birth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're entering in a dark new age in America, and we need to wake up, listen up, stand up, and speak up. Ladies and gentlemen, the church today strives to be embraced by the world. Rather than standing and acting against wickedness of the world, believers are simply seeking to be entertained in the churches. Yes, you're right. The millennials, some 47%, say they do not want Bible preaching. They do not want to be told about sin. They simply want to be entertained. Their words, not mine, according to the George Barna Report. We need to recognize that we're living in a dark, dark society today, and we're living in the last of the last days that the Bible speaks of. Christians are buying into the world standard and its stand on transgenderism, abortion, homosexuality, and all of the other maladies that's destroying our nation. Christians are still allowing their children to be brainwashed in the governmentally controlled schools today. Ladies and gentlemen, what should we do? How should we respond? How should Christians stand today? I believe we need to realize that we're in perilous times. It's talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. In the last days, perilous times. That word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating times shall come. And they're here today. Every believer must stand, even if we must stand alone. We must be, as the Apostle Paul recognized, that living for Jesus is not just a fluff life. It's a fight in life to the finish. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, I am looking forward to hearing the Lord Jesus Christ say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We must seek God's face. We must pray. We must turn from our wicked ways as a people, as a nation, individually and collectively, and seek God and allow God to heal our land. We must be willing to face persecution and even prosecution for our faith. We must need not look back and regret, as Oscar Schindler, saying, I could have reached more, I could have saved more. May I encourage you today to do what God would have you to do, and do it now. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.